This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Steve Wiseman, the News Observer, coming up here in about 15 minutes. And Raekwon Gray, after another big night, the Noles looking good on the road, looking like one of those alphas we keep talking about. Virginia and Florida State in the last 72 hours, Wes, have kind of made a statement, I think, for the rest of the conference. It's not that the teams like Louisville and Clemson and Virginia Tech and others can partake and be a part of it, but it looked like Virginia and Florida State gave us a little sign of life that, guess what? We are alphas, and you're going to have to deal with us.
Yeah.
But Florida State was outstanding last night.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. Florida State nationally looks like the 2 weeks that they were on pause, those 15 days, are being held against them when it comes to the AP poll. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a moment, because they weren't even like the next team out of the poll. Louisville was at 26 prior to the ball game last night. But the Noles led early. They led often. 78-65. The final stories we said in hour one is MJ Walker, to an extent, 2 points. 1 of 7 from the floor, but nonetheless helped his team win. How? Double-figure assists last night for Walker. Raekwon Gray, who Pac told you will join us bottom of the hour, was sensational. He had 17 points and 8 rebounds last night. Second straight ball game of 15 or more for Gray, who's really coming on. And I got to be honest, Noles just looked the part. Koprivica, I thought, was really good too, Pac.
Yes, sir. No question. They've got – there's all kinds of weapons for Leonard's team, right? Not only does he play a bunch of guys, but they're long, they're athletic, they play terrific defense. And almost every night, there's somebody else that steps up and gives them points in production. And that's why they are so difficult to deal with. Here's MJ Walker's only basket of the night. Didn't matter. Yeah, he's a star. Scored 2 points. But guess what? We got other dudes on this team. And they do. And that's why Florida State's going to be a tough out. They were last year as a defender. And they looked the part already. Again, like I mentioned, what Virginia gave you last week, especially what they did against Clemson, what Florida State's now done,
right,
coming back off the pause, I don't think there's any doubt that when you put together your list of who the best teams are in this league, the combination of Virginia and Florida State are going to be at the top of just about everybody's list, and that's no knock on Virginia Tech that's sitting there at 5-1, and they're playing extremely well. They're in the conversation too, but Florida State and Virginia thought they're going to be pretty good before the season. Looks like they're now starting to round into form a little bit. They have both looked very, very good here recently.
Pac, do you sense that Florida State's also developing a, I guess, a reputation for a different guy every night type deal? I mean, MJ Walker didn't score, did have the 10 assists. Gray helped out. We mentioned Koprivica. You talked earlier about Polite did not play when Luke Hancock was with us. He didn't play last night. They found somebody else. Wyatt Wilkes comes in last night, hits some threes early. Seems like that they've got the whole identity of a team now. It's not just a single guy here or there that's leading to their success.
I felt about that way about them last year, too. I mean, you did not know when you would play them which guy was going to step up and give you 16 points that you probably didn't expect it. I mean, they've got a go-to guy. They've got size inside. Again, you love their defensive intensity and length and the way they get after you. That's just a good basketball team. And you know, we've emphasized it enough since we've been back doing this on television. Leonard Hamilton has built a program. It's not just a good team. It's a good program. They got good players, and they are well coached. They know what they're going to do. They don't panic. That's the other thing about them. Like, even last night, I mean, they're up 40-16 by the time I finally sat down on the couch. And eventually Louisville, to their credit, bounced back. They got that thing within single digits. But there was never any – I mean, Florida State was like, cool, next possession, let's go play. Let's make some plays. They pushed it right back out to 15 just like that. So, to me, that's always a good sign of a basketball team or any team, that you take people's best shots, even on the road, no problem. We're just better.
Yeah.
Let's go play. And that's kind of what Florida State is starting to look like. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to run the table and win every game. Same thing with Virginia. But I tell you what, it's going to take a pretty good effort to knock off either one of those guys.
Ooh, tell the truth, right?
Yep.
And accounting is going to reflect some of this, by the way, on Thursday.
Yep.
Because there's just no getting around the front end of this, folks. I mean, Florida State, Virginia Tech, and Virginia, And depending on what happens tonight with Pitt and Duke, I think that factors into it a little bit too, doesn't it, Pack?
Yeah, that's why it's a big game. Because if we said, listen, we know Clemson's a good team, even though what happened to them Saturday, that's not who they are. I can give you, for every one of those games, I'll give you four or five where they've beaten really good teams. So I expect them to kind of get back to being a really good, solid defensive team and be a tough out as well. We talked about the Hokies. I still think Louisville, even though they got Duke coming up this week and they don't want to go on a three-game slide, so that will build up as the week goes on, regardless of what happens with Duke tonight. So, you know, North Carolina showed me something last Saturday. I thought they played well. The kind of the return of Anthony Harris gives him a different angle as well. Pitt's got a chance to make a statement tonight. So, I mean, we're going in about six or seven teams here where you're like, okay, what's going on? Georgia Tech, we haven't seen the Jackets play in 2.5 weeks. We'll get them hopefully tomorrow night against Clemson. And, you know, they got off to a slow start, but all of a sudden they start playing some good basketball. Maybe Georgia Tech's one of those kind of teams that can pile on some wins. So, like, again, we're going to go six, seven, eight teams deep here talking about the Alphas. Who's going to emerge? I think we saw maybe a little emergence of Virginia and Florida State, but those other six, five, six teams have the capability of joining those two.
Pack, also, Georgia Tech Clemson feels big tomorrow night too, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, Clemson, for two parts. Number one, we haven't seen Georgia Tech, like I said, in 2.5 weeks, and they were playing really good basketball up to that point. Then all of a sudden they went on total, you know, COVID delay.
Yeah.
Clemson has to kind of get back into the rhythm of things. They were completely out of sorts on Saturday when Virginia just made everything known to man and blew them right out of the building. So, yeah, I mean, you kind of expect, hey, the pause. Really, Florida State's the only team I've seen come off a pause that looked like they were ticked off about it. Like, hey, you know what? Unleash the beast. Here it comes. Everybody else comes off a pause and looks like, well, it looks like they haven't practiced in 2 weeks because they haven't. So I don't know what Leonard did to figure all that stuff out, but man, they've been out of sight. But yeah, Georgia Tech Clemson tomorrow is an important game for both of those teams, just from a momentum standpoint, kind of getting back in the flow of things again.
All right, let's get to the details of the top 25. And really the kind of piece of this that's surprising is that Virginia's 13, Virginia Tech 16, and Clemson is 20. Those are the three ACC teams ranked in the AP Top 25. The absence of Duke and Carolina for the first time in a poll together since 1982 should be noted. The second part of this is that a team that has played as well as Florida State is not in the poll this week. Now, granted, the poll was released before the ball game last night, and Louisville was actually the closest team to the Top 25 closer than the Noles were, who were three more slots back of the Cards. So technically, I guess they would have been, what, 30th in the poll, somewhere in that neighborhood. I went back in here a moment ago and just did a little voting. You know, the AP poll, I did a little research on the voting. And the Associated Press is good enough to the folks that vote for their poll every week. Their ballot is available online to look. So I just kind of took a poll of some folks who I know follow the ACC and started scanning here. And I put seven names down here, Pack, and Florida State is ranked 11th, 14th, 17th, and 19th, and three other folks didn't vote for them in the top 25. So what I'm getting at is the Noles, because of the pause, but even despite the win over Carolina and NC State going into the voting last week, there's still a wide disparity in just the way some folks think of the Noles, and I just chronicled seven folks there.
Where'd Dabo have them? Oh, I'm sorry. That's another poll. Yeah, listen.
Doug Dowdy of Roanoke. Our friend Doug Dowdy had him 11th, so I guess that's Dabo's vote in some respect, right?
Well, I mean, the whole thing, it will take care of itself. Listen, 68 teams are getting in. Florida State's one of those teams. I mean, I had fun with the bracketology nonsense that people love. People have Florida State like 7 or an 8 seed. I'm like, please, they are not an 8 seed.
Yeah.
Believe me, that would be the worst nightmare in the world if Florida State's an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament. Because if I was a number 1 seed, I don't want to see them in the second game. That would be a problem, a real problem.
Yeah.
But the Noles are playing good basketball one way or the other. So all of that stuff will take care of itself one way or the other. But you can't convince me today that there's 25 teams in America better than Florida State. There's no way. Sorry, not buying.
No. The no North Carolina and Duke is of note from 1982. And as we told you in hour one, if you want to throw the other basketball blue blood in there, you throw Kentucky right in on top. you've got to go all the way back to Dean Smith's first year at North Carolina.
About that.
To find a poll that does not have the Wildcats, the Blue Devils, or the Tar Heels in the top 25.
Wasn't even on the earth when that went, all went down. Crazy to think that way. By the way, I don't believe there's a team from the state of North Carolina, state that takes such great pride in its basketball. I don't think there's a team in the state of North Carolina in there for the first time in 51 years, right? 1970, I think it's the number I saw. So, we're living in a crazy time. These are strange times. We've seen some crazy streaks come to a screeching halt from that perspective. But I will just remind people again, it's January the 19th. We're basically at the halfway point, if you will. We got a long way to go here. We got major teams, blue bloods with great coaches and still good players that will have a chance to rectify a first half problem. So, just hold on. Enjoy the ride, as I always tell you. Enjoy the journey. We got a lot more curveballs coming your way. I just hope we get the games in. That's the most important thing.
That's it. Hey, by the way, you know where we can find ACC supremacy, and that's in the women's top 25. Jeff Walls and the University of Louisville on top of the Associated Press women's basketball poll for the first time ever. Behind Dana Evans and the freshman Haley Van Lith, they've reached number one after Colorado beat Stanford earlier this week. NC State, who's got a top a win over a number one team earlier this year in South Carolina, finds itself in the two-hole. Those teams are expected to clash on February 1st. In the reschedule of a ball game that was supposed to have been played on Sunday. So 1-2 from the ACC. Quentin Hillsman in Syracuse, who hosts North Carolina later today on ACC Network at noon. Check in at 23 in the women's basketball top 25.
From a selfish standpoint, and I normally don't root, I just say, entertain me. I say it all the time. Just entertain us. Give us a storyline. That's the best thing for what we do for a living.
Right.
But it would be kind of cool if Louisville and NC State can kind of hold serve. And again, we got to get the Wolfpack playing again, all that stuff. But if they can hold serve and kind of get to that matchup, it'd be neat to have a number one versus number two showdown nationally with two ACC teams. That'd be very, very cool. I'd love to see it.
Sure would. Sure would. Sit tight. Steve Wiseman coming up. We will talk to him about the events surrounding the retirement of Dr. Kevin White at Duke and what that may mean for the athletics future of the Blue Devils once he steps away in August. A quick reminder to you, though, we've got a Thursday night women's basketball doubleheader for you. 6 o'clock, Miami at Pittsburgh. Pam Ward, LaChina Robinson will be there. And then NC State, number two in the country now, visits Florida State. Jen Hildreth and Kelly Gramlich on the call right here on ACC Network and streaming live on that ESPN app. When we come back, Steve Wiseman joins us again on the pages of the Raleigh paper and the Observer, and we look forward to checking in with him. And also maybe a word or two on Duke and Pitt tonight when we continue with Packer and Durham on the ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. It's a Tuesday. Raekwon Gray is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Talk about the Florida State Seminoles, who were lights out last night on the road at Louisville. But right now, we turn our attention to Steve Wiseman of the News and Observer. There's a lot of stuff going on Tobacco Road, which we want to get into. First of all, Steve, good morning. Appreciate you joining us, as always.
Yeah, glad to be with you guys.
All right, there's a lot to cover here. We got a little bit of everything, some football, basketball, administration. And let's first start with Dr. Kevin White. He's done a great, great job at Duke. The timing of that announcement that he's going to chill and grill and go into the sunset, whatever his next chapter in life will be, how surprising was it? And from a timing standpoint, where does that put all of this stuff, given name, image, and likeness, and who knows what else is coming down the pike here?
Yeah, the pandemic, everything. I mean, he's been deep involved in that. And, you know, he is – he's on the other side of 70. So the fact that he's retiring isn't really a surprise. He could have stayed around another year on his contract. There had been some talk, I guess, later last year that he was kind of moving toward this, but the timing was a little bit surprising that it came now in the middle of January. But it does give Vince Price, the president of Duke, some time to go ahead and start his search and get the person in place by the time Kevin's planning to leave in August.
Interesting. Steve, we'll get to candidates and all that kind of stuff. Let's deal with some current stuff though here for the moment if we can. Basketball tonight, Pack said this yesterday, and I agree with him, feels like a really big game tonight at the Peterson Events Center.
For both teams, really, isn't it? I mean, look at what Pitt's doing. Look what they just did to Syracuse on Saturday, coming back and after that, you know, couple of weeks of not having games to play that way and play that well. And, of course, Duke is not a ranked team for the first time in 5 years. And I heard you guys mention, you know, the thing about Duke and Carolina being out of the top 25 together for the first time since 1982, which I was in high school, I think, then. So that was a long time ago. anyway. it's the big game. Duke has Jalen Johnson back. They think he'll be able to play a full game tonight, unlike last week when he played just a few minutes against Virginia Tech. So we want to see, you know, if Duke can get him back in and make him a key part of the offense with all of his abilities, that would be a big boost for them. But, I mean, this is a team that's not sure where they are right now. And that's unusual to say in the middle of January, late January for a Duke team, but that's where we are. And they've got a lot of questions to be answered.
I know this much, though, Steve. While Duke tries to figure out their identity, and getting whole certainly helps, and getting back into a routine will obviously help, they have already shown a problem against teams that are physical. Illinois did it to them. Michigan State did it to them. Quite frankly, Virginia Tech did it to them last week, where they just look like, hey, they're going up against more mature physical teams. There is no doubt that Pittsburgh is going to be tough. Physically tough, mentally tough, and they want to make this a street fight, if you will. I'm curious to see how Duke responds now at 100% against a team that may be undersized, but that doesn't seem to bother them. They like to come after you. So I think if Duke's going to get to where they want to be, tonight really is a major test just to find out from a physical standpoint, are they mentally tough enough to deal with it, especially on the road?
And I'm confident that's what the coaching staff at Duke has been preached this whole week, getting ready for this game, is that they have been shoved around by teams. And Coach K's admitted it. You know, they weren't going to beat Virginia Tech last week. Duke wasn't ready for that kind of a game, which really is a telling statement, isn't it? Think about that. We're in January, and they weren't ready for that type of game. And also, don't think that – I mean, we're confident also that Jeff Capel has said this to his team. This is our chance. If we want to make a statement, let's come out there and shove them in the mouth, you know, like the old – Big East teams, right? This is what they want to do. They can make a statement about their program. And so, yeah, let's see how the first 10, 15 minutes of this game going tonight. It's going to tell us a whole lot about both these teams and where they are.
Steve, it's interesting, too. The short worksheet from Mike Krzyzewski, 8 games in, 7 different lineups. We ran the graphic earlier. And he said yesterday, I think, in the call, you know, we're finally back whole as a roster. Seemingly, if they're going to start making the move, this would be – and it's funny to say we're talking about Duke making a move this deep into the season, but again, only 8 games. This would be the spot, right? This is kind of where, you know, we start to solidify who's going to be in the rotation type deal by the time we get to February, the grind then into March and that kind of thing.
Yeah, this is usually where Coach K starts narrowing things down and saying this is my core 7 or 8 guys that are going to play a lot. And, yeah, everything's off kilter this year because of the way the schedule's gone and everything else and injuries. But he does need to start doing that now, so then get ready for the most important games of the year. Everything goes toward March, and they've got to get there. And, I mean, let's face it, there's not a guarantee they're going to make the tournament right now, right? They're 5-3. So they've got some work to do. And we need to see who's going to be in that rotation. Like right now, Wendell Moore hasn't played well enough to be considered a starter at all. He played one great game against Boston College, but other than that, he's been really inconsistent, and that's the guy they were counting on. So they got to get him back. They got to see what he is. DJ Stewart and Jeremy Roach have been coming on really strong lately, so they're in there. Jalen Johnson, you would think, would be, but he's got to get back going. We got to see what he's all about. Matthew Hurt is obviously, you know, a candidate for ACC Player of the Year. So they've got talent there. They got pieces. They just got to figure out how to put it all together and make it work for 40 minutes.
Steve, you know, the other thing, too, is, and I know Kay and his guys don't worry about this, idiots like us do. After watching what Virginia did to Clemson Saturday on the road, they looked great. I mean, they made everything they looked at, defense, enough said with Tony Bennett. What Florida State now has done, returning from pause when they shot lights out and blew out NC State and, you know, a good grinding win against North Carolina. They blew out Louisville last night. You already get a feel that Virginia and Florida State are going to be near the top, if not 1-2. And if Duke's going to join the mix, or even a Pitt, but Duke in particular, since you cover them, this is not only a big game tonight against Pitt, they also are on the road at Louisville Saturday. And the Cardinals have now gone LL, and you know that they'll be absolutely sky high and pumped when Duke comes in. It just kind of feels like a really important week to determine what Duke's going to be about. Are they going to be tough? Are they going to be physical? They've had a week off to get ready. You kind of know what the landscape is. If Duke's going to join that mix, this week needs to be a WW week for them.
And there's really no excuse for them not to be ready physically. I know we just talked about earlier how they've been shoved around, and Coach K's admitted it. And so he's got to get them ready right now. And they've had 5 days here of practice with Jalen Johnson back. Patrick Tepe just came back yesterday, but he's a minor piece here considering everything. But, I mean, this is where he's got to teach them. This is what we have to be. We have to be ready for these two games. This is it right here. They lose both of them. They're 5-5, and we're almost to February. They're a 500 team. So, I mean, they're in real trouble to make the tournament at that point. You know, they've got a lot of work to do. So, yeah, they've got to come out and play really strong physically and emotionally, mentally, to win these two games. And if they don't, then we're going to know a whole lot more about them.
Steve, I want to transition to football here real quick in the final couple minutes. David Cutcliffe made some coaching changes, reassignments, if you will. Trooper Taylor goes from offense to defense. Matt Guerrieri loses the recruiting side of the defense, still going to call the plays. A little bit of shuffling, it seems like, postscript of their football season.
Yeah, I mean, you go 2-9. You've got a lot of work to do there, right? And you know, at some schools, some programs, it'd be a major shakeup. This was just kind of shuffling things around, bringing in one new guy. Cutcliffe's not going to call plays that he did last year, and it didn't work out at all. He found out it was just too much. He couldn't do it all. He couldn't pay attention to everything like he thought he could. And, you know, it wasn't the right move. So Jeff Ferris is going to get a chance to do that. He'll be a first-time play caller. He's only 30 years old. He's a young, up-and-coming guy. And, you know, we'll see what he can do with this offense. But they had to make some changes for sure, because last year was just a complete disaster.
Steve, I'm going to go back one more thing. We started this conversation talking about the AD situation. Again, it's beyond early in the process, but what's your gut tell you about the direction that Duke could go in? Is that going to be one of those internal things, next man up? Do they go outside the family? What do you think they will do in terms of the big picture as far as the AD is concerned?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a strong internal candidate, Nina King, who is a supervisor for women's basketball and football. She's the chair of the Division I Women's Basketball Committee this year. So she's got a national profile. She's been with Kevin White for a long time. You go outside, you know, a guy like Stan Wilcox, who was at Duke before he went to Florida State, is now at the NCAA office. Vince Price came to Duke from Penn, he's an Ivy League guy. Duke acts more like an Ivy League program than a Power Five program, so in many ways. You know, a woman like Grace Calhoun, who's the AD at Penn, is the chair of the Division I Council this year. So she's a national candidate. She's a rising star in this business. That might be a direction they go. It's kind of early to tell right now, but those are just some names that are kind of out there maybe that might be good candidates. And we'll see. I mean, there's, Kevin White came from Notre Dame. To Duke, which would nobody would think that would be a move somebody would make in this business, right? But he did. And so you can't rule out somebody else making a move like that.
Great. Steve, always appreciate the time. Stay well, my man. Always great to appreciate you doing this.
All right. Thanks a lot. You got to stay safe, too.
You bet. Steve Weissman covers Duke for the News and Observer in Raleigh. Always kind with his time. And always sensational information as it relates to all things involving the Blue Devils. When we come back, a guy that's been sensational two games in a row for Florida State, had another big game last night. Raekwon Gray joins us, fresh off another big Florida State win, this one over Louisville. We will talk to number one of the Seminoles next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. A plethora of great guests. That includes our next one.
Oh.
And if you watched the game last night where Florida State put on a show in Louisville, like I said, by the time I got upstairs and jumped on the couch, it was 40-16. I was like, whoa. I thought this was going to be a close one.
Yeah.
No. Noles are red hot. With that said, Raekwon Gray joins us. He's been on with us before. First of all, Raekwon, congrats on the win last night. Man, I tell you what, terrific. Got a grinder against North Carolina over the weekend. Short turnaround. Get on the flight. Let's go. Louisville team really talented. And, man, you guys came out of the gate smoking last night.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. You know, we knew it was going to be a dogfight. So, you know, we tried to come out prepared, you know, throw the first punt. So.
Well, you threw the first one, okay, and the second one, and the third one, and the fourth one. That's what you did last night. I was kidding with Wes. I was on the radio last night till 7 o'clock and was excited. In fact, I'm kind of mad at you because I really thought it was going to be a tight, close, fun game. And by the time I got up the steps and got on the couch and got dinner, I turned it on. You guys are up 40-16. I was mad at you and Leonard and the rest of you guys because I was like, man, I was ready for 2 hours of entertainment. Man, you guys just beat them senseless last night. But, man, you look good. Your team's really playing well.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Raekwon, what you guys have come back from the pause, and I mean shoot 71% last week against NC State. Pac mentions the grind against Carolina. I thought played with a lot of poise, kind of what we expect Florida State to do, to be honest. And then last night, deliver the road punch early. Not many teams come back from the pause – and find themselves that fast. What transpired with you guys? Was it that veteran presence that you and several other guys bring to the table, or the success you guys had last year? What's driven this?
You know, when we went on the pause, you know, we tried to lock in more mentally than anything. You know, we know that we was a better team than we were playing like. You know, our coaches definitely did a great job of those days in practice of pushing us mentally, you know, to get us to a point where we can function, you know, and play games like this and, you know, execute the high level like we're doing right now. But, you know, I mean, I think we're a great team, and we're just getting started, honestly. You know, we're playing well right now, but I think we can play better, and Coach Hamm knows that also. So they're going to keep pushing us, and just, you know, they know it's in our team. So we just try to take advantage of our break, you know, get prepared mentally than anything.
Raekwon, I think you guys have now developed a championship DNA. And, I mean, it didn't happen last year, even though you won the league. Yeah. It's been going on now for a long time with Leonard. He plays a lot of guys, whether you start, whether you're coming off the bench, you know you're going to get quality minutes, and you got to go play and play hard. I just think you guys are now wired that way. You know, in fact, if you have an off night, it's kind of shocking because you've got so many guys. Like we were kidding around earlier. I mean, MJ Walker's been a first-team All-ACC player this year. He had 2 points last night. It didn't matter because he found 10 assists to get other people involved. And, hey, it's kind of a next-man-up mentality. And Polite didn't even dress last night. You would never know. You guys just keep coming at people in waves and waves. But talk about the DNA of this team. I mean, just the work ethic, the confidence that you have in each other. I mean, it really is kind of cool to watch you guys because you really are the definition of a true team.
I mean, it starts with our coaches upstairs. You know, they do a great job of working with each other also as a team. So, you know, we see our coaches, you know, sacrificing so much for our team that it's kind of easy for us to do. You know, Coach Hamm's an unselfish guy. You know, he's a confident guy. He likes to have fun. You know, he takes care of us. So we play so hard for him. That's really the main thing. You know, we want him to win a championship and get the respect he deserves. So, you know, we go out there and compete for him, honestly. You know, and it's kind of easy when you have this many guys in the locker room that's, you know, ready to share playing time, share the ball, and have fun. You know, we got a great group of guys, and I think that not everybody can do that without high character guys, and I think we have those guys, and it's pretty easy, honestly.
Raekwon, as your career has expanded here, there's a lot of things I want to dive into. One is we got into this conversation yesterday with Seth Greenberg in regard to Virginia and red shirts. And we just talked with Tony Bennett about it in an interview we taped yesterday. Jay Huff and DeAndre Hunter were both redshirt guys, and obviously Huff's had a productive career at Virginia. Everybody knows what Hunter did. You redshirted at Florida State. What has that meant to your growth and the movement of this team, quite frankly, that coincides with that?
I mean, it just gave me a year to, you know, kind of soak it all in, honestly, you know, to see the game at a slower pace, you know, see things that I didn't know coming out of high school. and just realizing, like, you know, I have to get better. Honestly, I came out of high school. I wanted to play. Everybody wants to play out of high school, but, you know, that wasn't needed for me. I was young when I came in, 17 years old. You know, my mom and my coach discussed, you know, redshirted me. I hated it at first, but, you know, it definitely paid off in the long run. You know, I can see the game from a different point of view now, kind of a coach's view, you know, just being on the sideline for a year and realizing, like, I can pick up things quickly. So, I mean, it definitely helped, you know, in my development these past couple years. And I'm thankful for it. My coaches, you know, I appreciate them for doing it.
We have had some fun talking about how hot you guys are shooting the basketball, whether it's from the field, from three, and specifically the free throw line. I mean, ever since you guys came off this pause, you go 11 of 11 from the line against NC State. You beat them by 100. The North Carolina game was a tremendous basketball game on Saturday. You go 26 of 27. MJ finally missed one after you guys made the first 21. So I'm watching the game last night. You got this thing, cruise control. Oh, Quincy Ballard gets up there and throws two bricks from the line to end the game. Now, you guys have been making everything known to man. I mean, you've only missed one stinking free throw in two games. You only had missed one last night till Quincy got up here and went clank, clank. I know you guys take a great deal of pride in the little detail things, but, man, you guys are making everything. Did you give Quincy some grief putting those last two ones up against the wall? Because that looked like me out there shooting it.
Yeah, we joked around with him a little bit in the locker room saying, like, you know, you missed him. But, I mean, he's a good free throw shooter also, too. You know, he shoots a high percentage in practice, and he just ended up missing those two. But I think that, you know, we'll definitely keep shooting the ball well as long as we, you know, keep getting the reps and, you know, staying locked in.
By the way, the way you guys are basketball, the way you guys are shooting the basketball, does it not become kind of addictive that you see one go in, you're like, oh, man, I got that shot? Because I'm telling you, you guys have put on an exhibition and a clinic shooting the basketball here since you've gotten back.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, you see one go in, the next person sees another one go in. So it's like the whole team is rolling in. It's kind of it's fun to play with because, you know, I pass the ball out to either White or, like, you know, Sadar or Ray Evans, and it's like, all right, I know it's going in. Like, sometimes I don't even go rebound because I feel like, you know, those guys are shooting the ball well. And, you know, we're finding our shooters and our shot makers.
All right, you've been around this program a long time. We're going to put your experience to the test here, okay?
Yeah.
You have to pick which one you like better. All right, you have to decide, is Malik Osborne's dunk last night out of the half court or Trent Forrest last year against Louisville in transition?
Oh, man.
All right, now wait. Now, before you answer, here's the review. Here's Osborne, little punch right there off the wing. Get a look, little shot fake, fundamentally sound, crunches it, okay? There's another look just in case. All right, so Oz, he's in there. Now, this is Forrest.
Ooh.
Jordan Wara, hello.
Oh, man.
Okay, Raekwon Gray. Now, this is not, hey, listen now, I want to make sure you understand. This is not Coach Ham. This is not CY. This is not Stan Jones. This is not Smitty. This is Packer and Durham.
Yeah.
No holes barred. Who wins?
I'm going to have to go with Trent. You know, the environment was crazy. I mean, it was kind of like man on man, like face to face. So it was ridiculous. Like seeing it from the angle, I saw that too. So, I mean, I definitely had to go with Trent with that one.
You know, the other thing that comes into play.
You had a good seat for that one.
And you know, here's the other thing. It's at home. And you got the place was filled. And not only that, the dude he dunked it on is a baller, right? I mean, it had the imperfect ingredients. Incredible dunk. The anticipation with the crowd. Look at the bench. They're losing their mind. But, you know, you do it in an empty gym on the road, and I'm not taking anything away from the dunk last night because it was awesome. But it's a little different when you got the anticipation where you know the whole building is about ready to explode, right? That's just a different feel, right? Different.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, but those are both awesome dunks, though. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, last night, Sean McDonough and Jimmy Dykes talked. Jimmy Dykes said the size you bring to the spot that you play, is that your biggest advantage? The fact you're a big guy who can really move, got great quickness, understand the game, can handle it on the perimeter. There's just not many guys 6'8 and 255, 260 out there where you are there?
No, not really. I mean, people try to, you know, throw comparisons around all the time, but I always say, I'm myself, I'm Raekwon Gray. You know, I think that people haven't seen players like me, and that's why it's kind of a struggle to, you know, I guess, match up with me. So, I take advantage of, you know, any area I can on offense or defense, honestly. So,
yeah.
What's the most important thing for this team moving forward other than staying healthy and playing games? Take that out as if that's going to happen. What's the one thing this team has to improve on right now?
Just staying locked in the whole 40 minutes, you know, and throughout each game. You know, I think sometimes we have slippers throughout the games where teams can make their run, and, you know, we're not dominating the whole game. But I think if we take that out, you know, cut those areas out, I think we can, you know, compete with anybody in the country. You know, our coaches do a great job of, you know, making game plans for us, and we execute them pretty well. But, you know, we have slippers throughout the games where, you know, teams can make that run. And maybe we're not up 20 points all the time. Maybe it's a, you know, 5-point game, and they can go on a 10-0 run, and we're down, you know, in a huge game that we need. So just staying locked in for the full 40 minutes.
And, you know, and I want to go back real quickly. That's why I thought the game against North Carolina on Saturday was really important, really for both teams, but really for you guys coming back after the pause. I mean, the NC State game looked like me shooting, you know, shots out against the dogs in the backyard. Man, you couldn't miss, right? But that North Carolina game, you guys had to reach down deep and find a way to win. It was a grinder. North Carolina played well, but you guys emerged. And 3 minutes ago, could have gone either way. I really thought that game will help you down the road in terms of, hey, it's easy when you're blowing somebody out. It's another thing when you're playing a good opponent and you find ways to win late and deep, reach down deep and say, all right, let's just figure this one out. I thought that win Saturday was really, really important for your team.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, we pride ourselves on winning each period. So, you know, that last period we made a push. You know, I think our depth kind of got to them a little bit, warmer down a little bit. You know, we live for those moments in the late games, you know, because we're definitely training conditioned, you know, to execute late. And our coach do a great job of, you know, putting us in positions to execute the game plan. So, you know, that's kind of what we build here at Florida State. And that's what we rely on, you know, late in the game, which is our depth and, you know, us wearing them down.
Well, congratulations on the run here. You guys obviously lost to Clemson before you went on pause. You get a chance to pay the Tigers back on Saturday at 3 o'clock in a ball game on ABC, and then a home game with Miami follows that. So keep it going, my man. You guys have been great to watch, and appreciate your time here today, Raekwon.
No problem. Thank you for having me, man.
Always a pleasure.
You bet. Raekwon Grace, star of the Seminoles, and we appreciate his time here today. With Packer and Durham. Don't forget, a staple on the ACC Network returns this Friday night, Pack. Friday Night Duels returns.
Finally.
Oh, yeah. Number 12, Pittsburgh in Raleigh to see fourth-ranked NC State. 6 o'clock, Sean Kenny, Rock Harrison will be there for us. Friday Night Duels right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. Thanks to Raekwon Gray. Great stuff from him. When we come back, a little on this date in history. Oh, roll the TVS tape.
Wow.
Give me some Dice Martin, some John Shoemate. Oh, man. Richard Digger Phelps' shining moment in college basketball next.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. Final segment of a Tuesday program. Bunch of good guests as usual. Good games tonight. In fact, we got a ladies tip-off coming up here at high noon. Get that all over you. Q was on with us yesterday.
Yeah.
Syracuse trying to put 99 on the board this week. Well, you never know. Never know. How about on this date, though, West Durham? Huh? You just threw it to the break. Whoa. With some old school highlights, man. I mean, old school. Remember when?
Go to the TVS archives, right? Let's go to the Notre Dame Athletics and Convocation Center long before Purcell Pavilion. Give me some Dwight Clay, there's Clay's jumper, gave Notre Dame the lead. Look at all the chances Wooden's team has at the gun here. Dave Myers can't hit it. Richard Washington a miss. Andre McCarter, Bill Walton, just roll them off, right?
And there he is.
Okay, Pack.
Tim Beray storming the court in his heyday at Notre Dame.
Okay.
I don't think he was there. Maybe.
Here we go. 88-game win streak for UCLA is snapped by Notre Dame, 71-70. Okay, now, the Packer and Durham trivia question, because I know how much you like trivia.
Oh, I do. In fact, I live for this.
Who led the Irish in scoring that day?
Oh, I have no earthly idea. I have no idea.
Was it A, Dwight Clay, who hit the game winner?
No.
B, John Shumate. C, Gary Brokaw.
Oh, Gary Brokaw. C. When in doubt, go C.
That is correct. Gary Brokaw, 25 points for Digger Phelps' team. Bill Walton, by the way, 24 points, 9 rebounds, played all 40 minutes. UCLA had an 11-point lead with 3.5 minutes to go in the ball game.
Man.
And lost.
I remember watching that as a kid. That was, again, I grew up a big NC State fan as a kid. So believe me, in 74, mm-hmm. when the Wolfpack was loaded with David Thompson and Monty Tau and Tommy Burleson, and mm-hmm. you knew about, NC State kept an eye on UCLA. UCLA kept an eye on NC State. We know how that eventually played off.
All year long.
In 74, which was sensational. But mm-hmm. Man alive, it's hard to believe. What was it, 26, 74? So it's 47? Man, that is crazy to believe that. 47 years ago.
You will also remember that NC State and Louisville were on a collision course. They played earlier in the regular season ahead of UCLA and Notre Dame. Remember, they played in St. Louis. A neutral site game, UCLA and NC State played in December of 1973, which was then considered early in the basketball season.
Yeah.
UCLA won the game. Then they had the second meeting in the national semifinals in Greensboro at the 74 Final Four. And, of course, NC State won the game in overtime and in the much ballyhooed rematch, if you will. Tom Burleson, by the way, a phenomenal game that day for the Wolfpack. But Burleson and NC State then beat Marquette, who beat Kansas in the other half of the semifinal in Greensboro in 1974 to win the national championship.
Amazing. Notre Dame played in the old ACC, huh? Who knew? Who knew? All that foreshadowing.
The Athletics and Convocation Center. That's right.
They played in the ACC.
The ACC. They did. Yeah.
And here we are.
They sure did.
And here we are.
Uh-huh.
47 years later.
By the way, the closest streak since UCLA, this is of note.
I don't know
the closest
that.
Win streak since UCLA was Nevada Las Vegas in the late 80s and early 90s when they won 45 in a row.
How about that? Now, yeah, ironically,
that's been the closest since.
Yeah, you know, I still remember UNLV showing up to 77 Final Four with North Carolina.
In Atlanta, yeah.
Here's Al McGuire again, UNC Charlotte and Cornbread Maxwell. Yeah. North Carolina and UNLV, which was the other semifinal mm-hmm. game.
Yep.
Man, it's hard to believe, right? Time just flies by. Flies by, looking back at all that old stuff.
By the way, you cannot say, you cannot talk about the 49ers of University of North Carolina, Charlotte, or now, as Mike Hill wants us to know, Charlotte, right?
Charlotte 49ers.
Without talking about Cornbread Maxwell, Lou Massey,
yeah.
or Chad Kench.
Yeah. I used to do a bunch of shows with Cornbread.
Those are the
On our old Primetime the Pac-Man show. And during breaks, we'd talk, reminisce mm-hmm. about and Cornbread. We could get him on here and tell some unbelievable stories. I mean, unbelievable stories. But, those were good times back then. And North Carolina going to the Four Corners early against Al McGuire and Marquette in the national championship.
Stop. Stop.
I'm just going to tell you.
Stop.
I was in the Omni that
just
night.
Stop.
I thought that they had that game right where they, despite the injuries.
Stop.
Let the momentum slip.
Stop.
Al McGuire won the first.
Just
time.
Stop.
First and his last game. Won it all.
Stop.
What was that? Why is that bothering?
Stop.
You don't think that's true?
67-59. What else do you want me to tell you? It was 67-59.
Dean went four corners.
Walter Davis was playing with broken finger. Phil Ford, hyperextended elbow. Tom Lagarde had gotten hurt earlier in the year.
I just told you. They were banged up, but they had the lead, man. Keep playing. Dean went four
Duke
corners.
Fans feel the same way about St. Louis the next year.
Yeah. Hey, it's
just
the,
stop.
It's the beauty of sports. That's why we keep score.
I know. Josh and Drew are like, when are we going to get these old guys to quit talking about basketball from the 70s? I don't know.
I mean, the only reason we bring it up is because on this date, 47 years ago, we gave you footage of one of the great games in college basketball history. And it was a great game.
Just remember for those of you that have ventured to Greensboro, UCLA stayed at the Howard Johnson's.
Lovely Howard Johnson's. That was beautiful back then. That was a gorgeous spot back then.
By the mall.
Not everybody could get into the Howard Johnson's back then in Greensboro 47
NC
years
NC State
ago.
Was at the Albert Pick, man. I NC remember. State stayed out at the Albert Pick.
Stamey's Barbecue was waiting for everybody with open arms. Come on by. Grab you some.
Oh, my God.
Good times.
Oh, man.
Really good times.
All right. Big basketball tonight. Duke Pitt, 9 o'clock ESPN. Dan Shulman, John Crispin will have the call. ACC Network, you got a women's game coming up at noon, North Carolina at Syracuse. And then tonight, 7 o'clock, Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander have Miami and Syracuse. We got a full slate on Wednesday for you. We'll preview that tomorrow. We'll review the two ball games tonight and have some more fun, too.
And baseball
Thanks
rankings,
to Drew
right?
Brooks, Josh
baseball
Macri.
Rankings too.
Oh, and the baseball rankings. Yeah, we'll touch on that tomorrow. Thanks to Chrissy for helping us out. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.